Hey everybody, it's Lee. I know we're heading into the off season, so we wanted to give a shout out to our title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena, one more time. And again, we have a coupon for $50 off an annual subscription when you use Hockey Never Stops at hockey.sensearena.com. I always like to remind everybody, I've been using this thing for 6 months and I'm just blown away, not just from the VR aspect of it and the virtual reality side of things, but the ability to give different perspectives of the game, whether I'm playing as a goaltender. And I got to admit, it is really hard, but it has really given me a perspective from that point of hockey, which has made me a better coach and a better ice hockey player. Or the skater modes, which help you work on cognitive skills and other things like heads-up play that you don't normally get to work on in a practice or a game. So I implore you to check it out. It helps us out. It helps them out. Support our title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena. Get $50 off an annual subscription when you use Hockey Never Stops at hockey.sensorina.com. Again, that's Hockey Never Stops. That's the code at hockey.sensorina.com. Check it out. And without further ado, enjoy this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey. Hello, hockey skaters and goalies around the world, and welcome to another edition of the Ride to the Rink. It's going to be an extended edition today because we have a really important subject matter. I have brought in someone to speak to you, a mental performance coach who's a good friend of mine, someone that I learn from every single time that I watch him, see him, or read him. Dr. Cassidy Preston joins us today, and I have to say it right at the top, Cassidy, your new book, Mindset First, just hit number one on Amazon in its category, which is as your friend, I'm excited for you, but I think it says a lot about where we're going as a culture right now that your book about mental performance is number one.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to be on. It's always fun to connect here, Lee.
Oh, it goes both ways, my friend. And for those of you listening today, we're going to be talking about a really important topic about how to protect your mind from junk, not just on the game days, right, in general, because if you're a young player out there today, there's a lot of distractions between social media, sometimes the things you can see on TV, if you still watch TV. And it's really important, as you've written in the book here, Cassidy, about your input versus output on game days, on game weeks, during the season. Can you dive into a little bit about that chapter and why you wrote it?
Yeah, I think it's such a fundamental way of just looking at, like, what are we doing with our time and energy and our mind particularly? And because we all know our mind's so important in the mental game, but the input is going to dictate the output. And the analogy I like to use is like nutrition. It's like your input dictates your output. Like you eat healthy, like you're going to have better energy. And so when we look at stats, some social media or a lot of social media, those are like donuts. It's like they're entertainment, right? Like you can have a few donuts here and there, but if you're having donuts all day, every day, like that, what kind of output are you going to get? And that's what I call then the mental junk. And we need to protect our mind from how much are we consuming, looking at stats online, looking at all this external comparison on social media. These things, when we just feed our mind that, generate a mindset that's going to worry about results, consume and feel the weight of the stress and the burden of expectations, et cetera. Our confidence gets tied to those things. It's not going to allow us to play free, confident in the moment. So we need to filter and protect our mind from that. Some things you can't avoid. Then we have to filter. But we definitely, some things we can just say no to. Like, don't be on social media or TikTok for 2 hours a day, and especially on game days and practice days. There's, been proven, the detrimental for consuming that much social media and those types, let alone it's been proven. I was funny. I had one guy messaging me. He's like, oh yeah, my kid stopped doing TikTok on game days, he started playing better. You think it's related? I'm like, yeah, that's related. So that's the high level of this input output, but there's some other things that we'll dive into. But I know I'm glad you picked this because I think it's such an important one that, how we define success and what we put our attention on really matters.
Yeah. Well, look, another reason I picked it, and again, it's more than just social media, although I love your donut analogy, is that I think a lot of times with this one specifically, even as adults, right, we don't even realize we're doing it. You get in a click hole, an hour might have gone by. So this is something, as young athletes, those of you listening, really got to be aware of this. Cassie, I do want to dive in a little bit, though. It's like, look, we talk about donuts or like McDonald's on game days, right? Like a smart player knows probably shouldn't do that. But we know why with the donut and the McDonald's. It does not have the nutrition you need to be at your best. Can we maybe talk about the aspects of TikTok, Instagram, social media, Snapchat, that make it unhealthy for your brain. And again, I'm looking at the book while I'm saying this, because you talk a lot about being in control and how it can take your focus away, productivity away. Can you dive into that for me? Like, why are they unhealthy?
Yeah. And I'll loop in there, because especially with parents, and you talk about the parents' impact, because it, and again, I do it, like, I don't have Instagram on my phone because it's just too easily accessible. Like, I go on it on like an iPad. But, and I'll loop in quick too, the stats online, right? Mm-hmm. And parents are often, maybe the kids aren't looking, but the parents are, and then they're having the conversation with the kid, and that's the input.
If you win today, you can rank here. If you do this, you'll be, it's dangerous.
Oh man. Like, oh, you got this many points. So you're like, it's like, no, like, that's, you're putting in the wrong inputs. And, you know, with all of those things and with the social media, you know, there's a bunch of different challenges that come up from it. One of which is the constant external comparison, right? You're constantly looking outwards, and looking outwards then for validation and the feelings of meaning and internal, you know, happiness. That, like, it's a very flawed way to look and like find meaning in life. Like, you know, it's really important to spend time with your own thoughts, find things that create real meaning and connection, not this, you know, online. Now, I'm not saying the online world's bad, because I work with a lot of athletes, our team does, and they're going to be on social media. It is how they connect. Right. And it's not inherently a bad way to connect. But again, how much and in which way? And is there other ways, especially on game days and practice days, and how much of it? Where if you want to be priming your mind to perform, and we got them doing imagery, we've got them doing naps or meditation, you've got them, like, you know, maybe doing a little game day film or something, you know, doing a walk or some light activity to relax.
Something to get you present, right?
Yeah, to get you present. These things, you do those things, but then you do 2 hours of TikTok. Like, oh, it's like, and use the food analogy. Ate my chicken, rice, and salad. And then you had 3 donuts for dessert. Like, just ruined the good meal.
Your stomach
had, like,
the whole time.
Yeah. So it's like, it's, so that's a good way to look at it. And the why, one of the other big things with social media, again, I'm picking on TikTok, but it's, you know, Instagram's pretty much just adopted TikTok with the reels in some ways. It's just a delayed factor. But it's that, you know, every 7 seconds, this swipe mentality where you're just constantly searching for to be entertained at a really short, you know, attention span. That, like, you need to have, to be able to be present for longer periods of time, and to be able to navigate through the emotions and distractions sort of game, versus constantly being distracted and like swiping 100. Like, it's, so it's proven, like, there's great research that highlights that increased social media and some of those effects around mental illness disorders like depression, anxiety, etc., when you're consuming too much of the social media. So
especially if
those are
toxic.
Some of the main reasons. Yeah, it can get very toxic pretty quick.
Yeah, I was just say, like everybody's feed's a little bit different, but it can become a pretty dark place. So I just want to reiterate, Cassidy is not saying no social media ever, but we are saying, you know, on a game day, you might want to rethink your strategies here. I think another thing too, not to keep it on social media, but the idea, like you said, you know, when we were kids, the equivalent to me of this would have been like being on the phone with someone all the way up to the time it's to go on the ice. Like, we would never do that, right? Because it would be distracted. You needed your time to get focused, to be ready for the game. You also give a really great case study in this chapter of a player you've worked with, Zach, who played AAA, and how he was up against it going into the second half of the season. I'm just looking at it here, but you helped him. I'm going to read it. He did a personal scorecard, redefined his own definition of success. And then what I loved is that, you know, when we look at the results of this case study, it wasn't first like, oh, I had so many more points and succeed. No, it's, I was able to reconnect to the love of the game and my mindset improved, which really is an aura of the entire book and your body of work, right?
Yeah.
That you got to reconnect with that side of the game. And in social media or some of these distractions, stats, standings can really take you out of a place where you're forgetting why you played the game in the first place.
Yeah. And that's, and I'll lead into, so there's what not to do, and then there's what to do. And one of those big things I alluded to, it was imagery. And one of the key things we do in imagery is often have them reconnect to why they play the game in the first place.
Right.
And a great way to look at that is, it's not like a list. Oh, here's the reasons I play. No, one of the best ways to do it is a story. And so go back to, when did you first fall in love with the game in and of itself? And when you can get reconnected to that, it's a feeling that comes out.
Right.
And so there's the external goals. Those change over time. As you climb the ranks, those change. But the internal why, that feeling, the joy of the game, there's an initial spark. And so we get players in their imagery, go back to when you were 6 or 8 or 10. And when you first fell in love, and remember that for 15 seconds, and you get reconnected to that. That's a simple little thing that can go a long way. That's a healthy input. Right? That's your meat and potatoes or steak and whatever your pregame meal is, but yeah. The healthy inputs.
It's not the donuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the donuts. It's definitely not the donuts. And so it's a great way to look at it. And a lot of people, I'll share the story because a lot of people find it very helpful. It's a variation of John DeMartini. I shared in one of the earlier chapters, or maybe it was this chapter, but just around, we lose sight of the why. And a lot of people, I use this analogy of a 105-year-old lady who's the matriarch of her community. And she's got this flower bed on either end of her backyard. And these 12-year-old boys love going to play football there because they throw the football and catch it in a nice soft flower bed. So they love it. Old lady's losing her mind. She's like, these kids, what are you doing? You're ruining my flowers. Stop playing. They're like, screw you. We're going to keep playing. And so she's like, oh, what am I going to do? She's like, I'll call the cops. Like, nah, I can't call the cops. They're 12 years old. So she gets sneaky and she starts to pay them to play. The kids are like, this is sick. We're not only we get to play this game we love, we're getting $5 every week to come play in this lady's backyard. This is going great. And then she starts to pay them less. And it goes down to $3, $2, $1, 50 cents, a quarter. The kids are like, screw this. We're not playing anymore. They lost sight of why they were playing in the first place. And that's the same for, I see this with 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, let alone seven, like guys climbing the ranks, girls climbing the ranks. They'll lose sight of why, right? They think the goal and the external things are their why. No, those are external goals, right? And intentions. There's nothing wrong with those. But don't make that your core why.
Right.
You want to stay connected to that love of the game. And again, that input matters. Are you putting input that feeds the engine that focuses on all the results and the external comparison? Or are you putting an input that keeps you grounded in the love of the game, the mindset, and who you want to be and how you want to show up? And so that flower bed story though helps, because that separation of, well, my why is external things. No, it's right. Not. Like, that's an external goal. Your true why, your intrinsic one, you have one. But a lot of us lose sight of it. So staying connected to that is very powerful.
Well, look, and I think that's great advice, whether you're 6 or 26, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's also important to remember, no matter where you're at on the journey, that if you're not sure you're feeling that why right now, you can get that back. I mean, that's something that at where I'm at, Cassidy. I mean, I reconnect with that all the time, probably easier now at my age than it was maybe in my 20s. But for those young kids listening, you know, that's kind of like a superpower for you, right? Like, you love to play. And parents, if you're listening, you play a huge role in that, right?
Yeah.
One of the things, Cassidy, I say to my son and daughter before they take the ice every single time is two things. No matter what happens out there, I'm going to love you. And then I think also as important, I love watching you play.
Yeah.
I love watching you play. And it's so important that you never lose sight of that, but also are, as Cassidy said, aware of the things that can infiltrate your ability to do that. And again, I want to reiterate, we're not saying social media is evil and don't ever go on social media. That's a choice everyone's got to make on their own. But like most things, it's a dessert, right? You cannot eat dessert 3 meals a day and expect really good outcomes with that, right? And and finding the ways to be confident. Again, referencing the pages here, the inputs of focus, resilience, composure, confidence, those are things that get you in the zone, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the things that you want to have. And look, I can't say enough good things about this book for the parents and the kids listening, Mindset First. Again, it's available everywhere, right? Amazon, drcassidypreston.com. And you know, Cassidy, we're going to have you back on again. Again, Cassidy also runs something called CEP Mindset, in which he works with young athletes to get them, well, not just focused, that wouldn't be enough, but to really help them work on this side of their game. Because as we both live in this realm, Cassidy, that you know what you got to do physically to get your body in shape. Mentally, you have to be able to work at it just as much. And again, I said this to you before the show, I'm going to say it to the whole audience. I wish I had this book, specifically this book, when I was a young player, because the tools that you have written in here would have deeply impacted the way I approached the game. So thank you for writing it, number one.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. And again, go ahead. My bad.
Yeah. And I'll just say, like, yeah, and that's why I wrote the book, like, it's just because my own personal struggles as a hockey player. And that's why I got into the work that I get to do now, is It's like, there's gotta be a better way, right? There's gotta be a faster way to work on the mindset and the mental game that's practical and personalized. And so it's now condensing it all into this pretty, you know, concise yet very practical book that athletes can dive into, engage, and get a lot out of, you know, at their own speed, their own time, and comfort of wherever they want to read that book. So, and I'll add in one quick thing too around the why with the players, but also the parents. And you highlight it really well there. You're like, you know, you're like, I'm here. I love watching you play, right? Like, it just like, that's your why. And you stay connected to that. Whereas a lot of parents, they forget their why. Yeah. And their why
do better,
like,
on the forecheck today.
Yeah. It's like, they're happy when their kid performs well, or why are we focusing on mindset? Or why are we not on this? Cause I want to see you do better results. And then their why is so connected to the results too. Right. And so as a, and then what does that do to the athlete?
Right.
Makes them stay connected to the results. And so, you know, the words you say impact them, but it also helps set your own tone, which then, you know, just, you know, imparts onto them. Like, you know, they pick up on your body language, the tone, the way you say things, not just the words. So, it's a good reflection. I'm glad you brought that up as well.
No, I'm it's my pleasure. And again, look, we all preach this, right? It's about focusing on what you can control. And I think what's great about your book here is that this is a great starting point to kind of understand that methodology and philosophy. And again, you go into some great things in here, including, like, I love the chapter on the game day prep. We're going to probably share that with the audience in the future. Just reading through that, I was like, yeah, I needed this 30 years ago. But Mindset First is available now, again, wherever, I'm guessing wherever books can be sold. Again, number one on Amazon right away, man. That's an accomplishment. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate being on and love the work you're doing. And it's always a pleasure to catch up, Lee.
Thank you, man. All right. So this has been Dr. Cassidy Preston with Lee Elias on the Ride to the Rink. Wherever you're playing this week, we wish you the best. Remember to have a great time. Have fun. Remember why you love the game. And as always, skate on.